have a test for your table.
Hang on, one second. Otherwise, we're going to hear everything.
What are you looking for, prayer?
Yeah. Now the mute button.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. We're good to go. Sorry.
Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the ability to meet as free men and women and discuss and we seek your wisdom on the very important issues that we have on our agenda. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Klein.
Here.
Andy Lazar.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Gary Walrus.
Here.
We have form.
I call your attention to the meeting minutes of April 26th. Assuming that those were sent, everybody had a chance to look at them, and so we got a move for approval.
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Second.
And a move of second. Any further discussion? Attention to the relations? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Question is, minutes are not approved. Well, in the first part, we got a little bit of group there, which is always nice having the first day. I see we have the city council over there. Having been part of our group. We've also got the legal group of the airport, and I see some, you know, they remember the press amongst us. Usually come out here to a building in the middle of nowhere and work out of it, so we appreciate the entry. Let me say this, and I'll take the lead on the general standards for a moment, and then we'll go into this discussion and we'll get on that. There was a workshop that occurred, unfortunately, for a lot of reasons. The group could not as a whole attend. I don't know if any of you had a chance to listen to it. It was available on the internet, the recorded function of it. The consultant that we had in was a gentleman we talked about before, and that was Aviation Management Consulting out of Colorado, Jeff Holman. And he did a very, very good job of bringing us up to date from that half of the sentence. We learned a lot from that presentation. Also, the lead behind me that we had from that talked to minimum standards and where they fit, the importance of the system, the importance of our airport. It's not just a document with a few words on it that talks about whether you do one or two or three or four things at the airport, probably two of them. So I encourage you, if you have not had a chance to attend that meeting via the internet, I think I'll take the link out to everybody. I would encourage you to do so. Basically, we had that workshop at the council we came through with some thoughts after that. The question was asked by the chair of the council we've had to look through these kind of wrong. There had been probably not as much discussion of the changes of the standards as we really needed, because you recall the first time we voted, we brought up the standards and had a lively discussion pertaining to that. It was all of it except for Mr. Klein, who refused himself. We voted that we'd like to stand for the workshop for that. So we really never dive into the university old copy of standing in the Brooklyn Lakers and on the back of staff at Lynch. They advanced one to the council meeting a week ago. We were there and looked for some of the same thing, and I asked my copy for the last class commentary about the fourth. If the council wanted us to adopt these standards or look at seriously adopting them, we really needed a better vetting of them to make sure that they indeed were in the best interest of the effort. And that's what we asked for. We had discussions with their comments and so forth. I commented, of course, on the effort folks to have at the city council meeting. And basically, we came down and agreed with the council fairly quickly to take what we got and what the suggestions are, come up with common ground, and then bring it back at the next council meeting, which is a little less specific to what. I got with Matt after that meeting, and we always kind of agree on what we disagree on. At that point, the differences, lowering standards for any reason, we felt like here needed to be questioned, and that's kind of what we left. We learned some things out of this, being the short course that we did. And Matt, we have copies for everybody?
Yeah, everybody should have a copy in front of them. I only have four. I knew you already had yours, so I have the same file of yours.
There's a lot of information that's in the body of the showcase and so forth that I encourage you to look at outside of the meeting. Part of the reason today, some ideas that came from that, Matt and I got together first thing on I was out of town about the last week. We got together first thing on Monday. And we laid out the commonality that we had relative to where I see the board being, what we discussed here, and the needs that he has, plus what we feel like the effort needs are. But we came up with an approach that I think will meet the objectives of both the board, the long-term need of the airport, and brings to a point where we can come out of this and send a document back to the council that is agreeable to all concerns. And more than anything else, the whole reason we're doing this is for the value benefit long-term for our questions.
No, another question. I was on the phone when I came in with Jimmy Gooding, who confirmed what I've done the last time is proper, and I'm going to do it again at the outset of the conversation, announced that I, as important as this issue is, I dreadfully have a conflict and that I represent a client who would be directly affected by the outcome. And although I don't believe I'm prohibited from engaging in discussion to avoid even the appearance of any impropriety, I'm not going to even engage in any discussion on this issue. And we find a conflict and mistake.
The biggest problem I see with the whole thing, and I'll back up because it's directly addressed to where we are, and Matt and I talked about this in the meeting that we had, I thought about the council. We're in the process right now of figuring our standards, and we appreciate your input that we can manage. The idea of doing this is the result of a proposed proposal to allow Jeff to engage in a fixed price operation. Today, and to the best of my knowledge, we don't have any proposals from the council. We have a letter of interest. There have been any kind of correspondence with the city. They asked the question of Matt, and maybe something in records between them and everything that is forward. Whereby they're asking, according to Matt, and there are a lot of discussion of this, whatever the standards are that we adopt, and we keep the old ones or adopt new ones, for Matt's discussion with Cal Jeff, they're wanting to meet those things. So then it comes down to, what are the standards, how should they best be derived, and how do we go out putting something together that meets the needs and so on. So from a practical standpoint, I understand where you are. You're a lawyer, and I'm certainly not. I think your approach is your approach. But I don't think we're really doing anything that has anything to do when we come back and take what we learned from aviation management consultant Jeff Coleman, a little bit deep in the point of that study we looked at. We're going to endeavor to do standards that fit the needs of the airport, not even taking into account the kind of jet. that's what we've got, and I'd be too minded if we look through, staff of information, and I put word of mouth, I'll certainly ask him to address that as well. But one of the things that we found was a question that came up and started by the council. When we adopt new level standards, let's say, for instance, we discussed this at the last meeting, everybody wants to say, hey, if we water our standards down or lower the standards or do whatever the standards or raise our standards, the requirement is the same. I'm not sure about residents, but it's pretty clear it's the lower. If we lower the standards, Landmark can essentially move back. If they're only four things and they only require two, immediately they're in the position where they only require two. Their long-term contract with the city refers back to the same document, and their contract requires them to meet minimum standards. So the change in the standard, heard now does it, we have business from the airport, and companies obliged, and we are as a city to drop back. So the basic standards, I would assume that it would be the same.
Not necessarily. I think it's got some, if they're more restrictive, you almost have to grandfather the existing tenants in. If you make them less restrictive, then it would fall on them. But then if you want to change them again to more restrictive, then basically you can drop them and everybody needs it. If you increase it, you have to grandfather it.
Well, that's what we talked about, the last time we've done it, the last couple of times we've done it. The business of lowering the standards has some far-reaching implications behind just number services. So if we all understand that, I suppose, we talked about it. So that brings to the point where what we wanted to do here, what Pat and I talked about, is a more unique approach to what we're doing, because one of the thoughts was that if one FBO is here and another FBO comes, perhaps they'll bring another additional service that the first one didn't have. So we're going to benefit by virtue of having a second FBO, because now we've got two other services that are unique to the other FBO point. Where the way our standards are set up now, that's really not applicable, because you have a certain set of standards you have to meet. Out of this, and what we learned in the voucher circle, I've read that, but we didn't pick up on that close to that, and we talked about it on Monday, and wanted to flesh that out more to the board. The idea of providing more services in terms of the list that another FBO or another operator can send from the airport to choose from. So that there's not just avionics, there's not just flight school, there's not just maintenance, and it's not just
aircraft,
so that we have more to choose from. And also, the premise of what we talked about, and we think it's a pretty clever idea, and then there's more here. It's not such a clever idea when I was the first one to think about it. I love a little bit about it. But if we weight the services so that some services, if you have to have four services, the four of the services can be weighted differently. So if you provide certain services, you don't need as many. For instance, the number one person we talked about, and I mentioned that I thought that originally had when we made the first proposal. They really haven't made a proposal, so there's not a proposal, and that's why I question the legal problems associated with it. They're just waiting for us as a board to adopt standards before they submit a proposal business plan. So, which I think.
I think now might be a good time for me to jump in with the slides that I presented and put together. Because we started talking about what you and I discussed, yeah. And I want to make sure everybody can follow along with the slides.
Okay, I'm back to one point though, I think. And that was where I was going. Then I'm going to hand it back to you because I'm not talking. For instance, there's things on the list. We have things on the list of the spreadsheet that we have. Everything out of aircraft washing. Because if you're in aircraft washing business, how really important is that when you compare it to maintenance or flight school? Avionics, and so if we assign the value of aircraft service maintenance from the standpoint of washing and cleaning and so forth, maybe it's a quarter of a point or maybe it's a half a point. And if you have general maintenance like we have now, you're working on piston and air line, and we're like, I don't know what job that's doing now. Of course, with having a turbine jet or something, maybe the turbine jet facility's worth two credits, and the regular general aviation thing that we have now for regular airplanes is worth one. So that's where we got it. I took some ideas away from my meeting, and that's where we're going to think of it again.
So we had the workshop on 5-8, a couple weeks later, we had a city council meeting. Council, just to reiterate what Terry said, bounced back to the board, here we are today. After meeting with Terry, came up with an interesting proposal. Initially, it involved four services. That an FBO would have to provide four services out of, I think we have 10 available. And then we kind of worked into the whole credit system. Well, an FBO has to provide services to a level of four, and then we would assign jet maintenance, you know, two, and maybe aircraft watch a half or a third, and go through it that way. We didn't get down into the details about which service to assign what value. But the theory behind it seemed pretty good, because remember, the ultimate goal that I had when I presented this to the board the first time was to increase the flexibility and opportunity within the minimum standards without sacrificing service without sacrificing service. So I think I presented three or four different variations to the minimum standards for this board. This closely mirrors one of those. So basically, in a nutshell, the proposed standards will have revisions to the additional service requirements. We're also amending hangar ramp and office space requirements. And a big difference between the old and the new is that if you have multiple services, whether you're an FBO or not, those ramp spaces and office spaces are not cumulative numbers, whereas the old standards, or I should say the existing standards, those were cumulative numbers. I'll show you what I mean in a second. Under the existing requirements, again, this is just to refresh your memory, if you're going to sell fuel, if you're going to be in the retail aviation fuel business, you have to provide airframe power plant, flight structure, aircraft rental, and avionics. In my opinion, that puts us at the most restrictive level compared to all these other airports here. Now, what we're proposing, and I put two proposals, the initial one and now current today. Now we're proposing that you have to provide four values of service. And we'll assign values to all of these services. I think there's 9 or 10 of them there. Interesting. Out of all the airports that I serviced, none of them made a distinction between small aircraft maintenance or large jet maintenance. So I think we're breaking ground with that. I always like to set an example in this day. I think it's a good idea. So you'll see turbine, airframe power plant right here. Nobody else has got that checked off because they don't exist. So that's kind of what we were discussing. On the area requirements, what we're looking at doing is going from these are the area requirements that we currently have. And as you can see, FBL, maybe 5. FBO needs 5 acres, 10,000 square feet of hangar space, ramp space, 40,000 square feet, building and office, are at 5,000 square feet. And then you've got your individual items, your individual services down here, and they require various levels, and you can see that. Avionics, you need a half acre just under a lease. A combination between hangar and building, 5,000 square feet. Aircraft training, aircraft rentals, about an acre, 25,000 square feet of ramp space, building office is 1,000. And what I wanted to show you, I'm not on the same sheet. What we'd like to do is simplify that. If you're going to sell aviation fuels as an FBO, you're going to lease 10 acres. You're going to have 2 10,000 square foot hangars. You're going to have 4 acres of ramp space. And your building and office space requirement is 5,000 square feet. And then all the other services, that long list of 9 different services, would be at an acre of land, 3,600 square feet of hangar space, 2,500 square feet of ramp space, building and office at 1,000. And I'm going to pass out. It was difficult to show on PowerPoint because the chart is so large and wide. This is a comparison of the other airports and their ramp and office space requirements. If you look at that, several airports just have adequate when you look at it, ramp space or hangar space. They keep it flexible. So rather than pin it down on a particular number, they just label it as adequate, and it goes through the review process. In our case, it would come to the airport advisory board with their proposal and their space requirement, and you would thumb up it or thumb it down. And then at that point, it would go to the city council. Subsequent to our meeting, Terry and I, we established some hard numbers on there, but I'd like to open it up to the rest of the board for discussion. Basically, what I'd like to see accomplished today from this board is to comment on the value system on all of those different services, whether a value of 3, a value of 4 is appropriate, how much flexibility you want in it, basically what that recommendation to the city council will be, and then on the actual size of the ramp and hangar building and office space, whether we want to attach a hard number to it or stay flexible. But remember, that flexibility whatever that adequate number is, that is only for standalone specialized aeronautical operators, not FBOs. These are, if you wanted to start a flight school, this is what you would have to abide by. If you wanted to do an FBO, it's a whole other column, and that's right here. I think we want to stick firm with those numbers. Again, what's up for question is, do we want to stay flexible and just call it adequate on the specialized services, or attribute some hard numbers? There's a lot of information in front of you. This is the draft. I'm sorry. This item right here is the existing standards. What I've done, I've gone through it paragraph by paragraph and identified where those items are currently located. Because if you look at the draft standards compared to the existing standards, you'll note they're significantly thinner. And a lot of that has to deal with a lot of the verbiage in our existing standards is covered in the other primary guiding documents that are before you. The lease policy, development guidelines, rules and regulations, and then ultimately the new standards. So as you peruse through this redline copy of the standards, you'll look on the comment side and it'll reference exactly where that item is addressed, whether it's in an individual lease or an operating agreement with whichever tenant we've got, minimum standards and what section in that standard, the leasing policy or the rules and regulations. Final clarification on that. When you look at the existing standards, we broke out all of those services with separate requirements. what we're doing, grouping all of those together and putting it in the new standards. So that trimmed the document significantly. I did not go through and redline where each and every one of these occurs. You'll have to look at the specifications for those specialized services, specifically in the new standards. It's a lot of information to cover real quick. Open up to questions.
The idea behind this, if we talk about that, like another documents here, the schedule, whatever, we would endeavor to schedule another meeting, part of the city council meeting, and come back with the idea of taking what we learned today into what we're going to do tomorrow, take it home and study on it, and then come back to that meeting.
Thank you for clarifying that. We do need to schedule a special.
We're not trying to get all that.
Yeah, thank you.
And one of the things was, I'm not an attorney, but I've had enough legal experience to talk to some other attorneys. That leaving the things I'm hearing from that, I talked about a term like, and I don't think most of the attorneys that I've worked with and certainly never had any, adequate's not a very good way to describe it either in a legal document. Just leave too much interpretation. So I think it's to the airport's advantage, to the tenant's advantage, or the final gift, so we don't leave language like that. And it's very tricky, you know, why some people have done it. Because one of the problems that Matt and I noticed right away is, only a full-service operator that has 20,000 square feet of ranch company, if you had a Geneva style come into your ranch, you'd no longer be able to move anything else on your ranch. Because that's only 200 by 200 feet. So that's obviously, you know, not something we considered one could operate.
Yeah.
And as you look at the list, 40,000 square feet almost seems like a minimum because it's a lot of it. But whatever data put, we can talk about that and arrive at a number, anything else. So I'll leave the...
You reminded me, on my initial draft, I had put in the adequate verbiage. Mm-hmm. That's what was sent to the FAA for review. One of their comments was, you know, it seems a little vague, and they want to put some specific numbers in there. But that was one of the comments from the FAA, but also when you look at the other airports, they have that verbiage in there.
We talked about it in the first meeting, not as much at the second meeting, because this came up. This is our airport, these are our standards. This is a guideline of what other people do, it's not necessarily what we do. I think we should keep that in mind, just because Gainesville does it, just because somebody from the West does it. What's best for our airport, what fits best for our Cal, and that's what's on here. I'll open it to comments or questions or
comments. I have a question. So if you use the word adequate, who would determine what adequate is? This advisory board?
Initially, it would be the advisory board. Uh-huh. And then they would make a recommendation to the city council.
So we're not going to use it on that.
That's up to your...
Well, he's... Okay.
That's up for discussion.
I said, Randy, you addressed the ask panelists from a legal standpoint. He's asking for the letter.
It really is what it is today. But I understand it depends on what type of aircraft. So
I get a full set of them.
You can't even say so much for aircraft if it's a different size.
Yeah. There is another option in there. A lot of airports, especially when it comes to identifying how much ramp space we need, we put 2,500 square feet down here for the all other services. A lot of airports are saying your ramp space has to equal whatever hangar you've got.
Well, 2,500 square feet there, again, less than probably half an acre.
But our minimum hangar size is 3,600 square feet, which is a 60-by-60.
Let me ask, because we have one of those accounts, from avionics perspective, how much ramp does an avionics shop really require?
I think our existing lease has this with, three tie downs in the ramp space.
So a half an acre would be made up 100 by 100. I would think for an operation like that, where you're working on a limited number of airplanes,
right.
Just like maintenance seems more, and the way they've got more, but they're pushing all the airplanes in and out of the hangar.
Yeah, under our existing standards, avionics, they require a half acre leasehold in a combination building office rent at 5,000 square feet. They don't specifically mention rent space in the minimum standards for that.
See, that was confirmed by somebody's in the business there, yeah. I think that's the only test.
Way back when we started with this, I guess I used a bit of a philosophy that these are figures that have come from experience. And as such, should be used accordingly. And I don't mean to get into philosophies, but the good Lord came up with 10 rules, but then he's got all kinds of asterisks after it on how to do it. The thing is that I would pass whatever you have because it's the basic. As long as we've got the paragraph in there that says, based upon local or circumstances or conditions, it's your responsibility, we're going to put it on your shoulders to make some of those decisions. And the problem we get into is if we try to build a perfect house, it isn't going to happen. There's too many variables in here. I worked with General Motors, and we had at one time 13,000 dealerships. And we had a beautiful guidebook. You want to build a dealership? We had the numbers, we laid it all out. However, I don't think we ever built one according to the book, because you had to be competitive, you had to be able to live with what you had to be able to work with what's available, and had to be flexible enough to work with it. And as long as we've got that flexibility, we've got the experience and the guidelines and the management. And the rest of it, you know, Christ, what you need is our friend the lawyer here to try to make it, and it isn't going to work. You've got to be able to be totally flexible. You're going to get some people come in here, and they're going to say, we can do this, we can do that, we've got room for that. How does that work? Yeah, we can put it together. And you're in business. That's the thing I'm looking at, is come up with the basic rules, come up with what... And you call it adequate. I just call it based on our good experience of successful experience and go from there and work with it on that basis. Because try to go through each one and say, well, it's got to be 3,000 feet. You know, now we're back into China. You know, everything is...
That's where we're at right now with this top row that's been here.
Gary, remember all this is minimum. So we're going to add a minimum, so we're going to have 40,000 feet for that.
Well, I wouldn't even use the word minimum. This is a guideline. This is our guide based upon our experience throughout the country, and it gives us a guide to go with. Not minimum, not maximum, not too much, too little.
You'd recognize that. Comes from our friends at Oklahoma City.
Exactly.
They refer to it as a minimum standard. So the industry minimum standard is what we're talking about here. So I think we probably need to continue with that. But just look at that as a reasonable minimum. And I think that's what we're doing. And they talked to the cafeteria kind of we're talking about. Not that, that's
I got a question. One of the big changes is that minimum amount of square feet for the FBO fuel from 40,000 to 174,240. How was that arrived at?
Basically, the existing ramp space that's out there. It's about 4 acres. We have 4 acres, roughly speaking, in front of Landmark. It's another 4 acres or so in front of what we call the city ramp. And for what we want to accomplish, we would be able to accommodate large aircraft, big wingspan. As Terry said earlier, a G5 on a 40,000 square foot acre is going to take up most of that space.
Another indication that I think we're on the right track. If you look down at all the other airports, then I just said we don't necessarily want a comparison to. But if you look, the land has 25,000 square feet, but that's the smallest one. There's one other, an animal with 40,000 square feet. So we are really addressing it in the middle.
And this is part of the confusion with our existing standards. Again, all these numbers are cumulative. So it may have 40,000 square feet if you want to sell fuel, but it's cumulative. So an FBO that wants to do airframe power plant, aircraft rental flight training, and avionics, all the ramp space is cumulative. And that's essentially what Landmark has done, because they are subletting out those spaces. So you have to add 40,000, 15,000, 25,000. That is actually their ramp space requirement. So even on the acreage, the minimum for an FBO is 5 acres. But if you're going to sublet out all those others, because of the way our standards are written, they're cumulative, it's actually closer to 8.5 acres is required. And that's how we justify the increase to 10 acres on the new standard. Landmark, by the way, has about 25 acres total.
I have a question. Does y'all just forgive me for my lack of knowledge about aeronautics, but why would a company come in and want to build a facility with an inadequate amount of rack space? I mean, for the business that they're doing, it seems to me if they want to come in and do business, they're going to be building to what is required for how they want to do that business.
You have to like the underlying minimum standards would be to make sure that they actually come up with something that leads to risk.
But it would be bad business for them not to run.
Well, but
I'd be surprised if what kind of head came in, they would be talking more than, I'm quite sure talking more ramp space than we're talking.
And I, when you asked that, I immediately thought, and maybe somebody can correct me, but money's in the fuel. So what we're trying to do is make sure somebody doesn't come in and just want to sell fuel and just do enough to get by on everything else, but hit it hard on making fuel.
Okay. So that's what
we got. And so, you know, it's not fair for one FBO to have to charge more for fuel to cover this other thing that maybe not a money loser, but is not making money. And then some guy come in and just sell fuel and do the minimum and rack up.
Okay. Thank you.
It is possible in airports, because there's others. It's not as much of a problem now because the community's grown, the airport's grown, the state's grown, the non-traffic has grown a lot different than it was 30 years ago, or even 25 years ago before that was. But you have to work hard to get to have somebody come to your airport and work on airports. So somebody came in and broke down, the local people, as we're based there, having somebody to work on the airplanes was impossible, because for a long time, there was no maintenance. So the idea behind minimum standards and putting some of these things together is that the people, to make the airport better, when you've got maintenance and you've got the other services. In a nutshell, what we're seeking to preserve. And the idea of bringing other and varied services here, that's what Matt and I like so much, because if FBO comes here, they don't have to do avionics. Avionics at our airport right now is to talk to the Mahawk. They're adequate business to keep maintaining airplanes, keep things going and so forth. The second FBO, the second avionics shop, it wouldn't be good for anything. One of the other would close up as quickly. So nobody's ever probably going to want to come here to be honest. So when you're restricted like we have been, it kind of puts you in the comments this way. You have to think about avionics, you have to investigate, figure out that this isn't fine territory for avionics, but it very well might be, forget maintenance. That's what we're trying to probably. We'd love to, we talked about it before, you know, having a truck, and I know that comes to Mobile State. Bill, If you weren't even in the business and you were here, and you're going to be based here, have a good company shop for somebody to get back to work, and your kind of airplanes, which would have been locked up, we never had.
I agree with that, but I disagree with some of the other standards here. I think you're going to actually make it so that it's, people won't come to your business. I think you're going to make it too restrictive with your minimums. People will not come to the business.
Well, maybe it would be.
They can go to other airports to do it.
Oh, the other airports have standards as well, so.
But their standards are more relaxed, so.
We already have some flooring and standards to the extent that we're allowed, but there's a lot of other things. I mean, you would have a storage container, you'd store it up as a service. We talked before about bringing term things here, that's three of the four right there.
But you haven't signed points to them yet.
If we didn't need a manager and the responsibility of a manager, all you wouldn't need to have him at all. All you'd need to do is post all this on the wall, tell the guy to sit down and read it, and when he's got it all checked off, if he fits, he's in. But that's not the way it works, and I agree with you. You've got to have flexibility, you've got to have availability, and a little bit of chutzpah in dealing with the situation if you want to add or have something in. And we can't protect you, Matt, by having all the hard rules there. You need to be able to work with the rules and then come to the council and to whatever and say, here's what I've got. What do you think? Now, we're half an acre short. We're 6,000 feet instead of 7, but we can put this together.
I think we're all on the same page at that.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd be here would be, and then the thing that we're liking and by their mention, look at it, we have no proposals, no business plan proposals from the county. If they come in with a proposal that's going to offer this, that, and the other, and bring things, and the airport board, the airport management, everybody here is convinced that that does something for the big council, and we need something. They just want to pump fuel to get time and do nothing else. Then the whole landmark to their requirements, what do you do? You gotta be fair to the people that are here, you gotta offer an opportunity to help you discuss. So, I mean, that's the way it's always been. That's the way that other airports as well. You got to at least have minimum standards or numbers on the decision, whether it's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, or 4, our objection was to go on from 4 and 2, on that alone. So, just because other airports do it, I'm not sure that's the best long-term measure to go on airport by service to people on the building. And it is a business in bar. You make a business decision. We can only listen. I really think this board should be out. If you came with a proposal and had a meeting this year, did some things and so forth, and you wanted to do something different for this thing, it's already been done. But right now, we have nothing on the special work. So, adopting the standards and working with them to my way of communicating that before has to be fairly generic to work for the appropriation department and that's what it's critical.
Well, when the goal is to inject some flexibility and competition in the standards, anything you propose to do that is going to be better than what we have when we're one of the most restrictive on that list. I can assign point values to these. I can put together a plan based on the what went to council just last week or 2 weeks ago. And I can put together a simple, we need 4 out of 12, period. And put those up and bring them in front of the board next week and put on how much flexibility and competition you want to put into these standards. How much rigidness do you want in there? How much do you want?
What's the pleasure of the board? Do you have any thoughts in terms of meeting these? We'd like to work toward getting your input, and then setting a meeting date in the next week or been levied, wherever we have to leave, we need to come down and plead.
Thursday.
Well, I could say, I think obviously the goal is to inject some flexibility, but on the other hand, not too much flexibility. And that's where that's the hard thing.
My problem with Thursday, I'm going to be at the annual meeting of the Boy Scouts. I'm going to be going to the third director of the week.
You guys tell me. We'll be there no matter what.
Okay.
You tell them my words. It's got to be next week, though.
Yeah.
Aye.
Will Wednesday work?
Wednesday works for me.
If you have your time, we'll start the day for
Wednesday work for me.
Sure, you're going to.
Same time? 3:00?
Well, that will be wide open in terms of the time, so what okay. Time works best?
Well, we're always at 3 of us here.
Create a problem. I'm very fond of you, young. 3:00? Yeah. I put this up to 5 later in the afternoon because we're likely to have an hour and a half to talk to them. It's definitely a continuous subject.
Like I said, we'll be there.
Does 2 work? We have 1 more.
2's okay.
Well, we can do a lunch as well.
Good.
That's fine. Thank you. That would really fulfill some kind of a ham sandwich. We talked about it at lunch. You seem to do that, but kind of keep it back.
Okay.
We go to 12?
Tell me, I'll be
there. Okay. You're just
I'm
hard
easy.
To work.
Easy.
Is that Wednesday?
It is. Okay, so she's going to do it on Wednesday.
Is that the 30th?
Yes.
All right.
In the meantime, I ask each of you to do some homework, take a look at this, come back with some ideas. The ideas are based on what Matt talked about here today. The that's something that we can come back with. We can present if we feel like an improvement over the board of work. Moving on, any other discussion or input or whatever, and I'm saying, you know?
No, I would just say, I think that maybe last meeting or meeting before last, I kind of half had Jez threw my hands up and said, I don't know why we're here then. But anyway, I thankfully the chairman and the city council and the staff just got together, and I feel like we're part of it now. But before, I just felt like it's going right around us. So I appreciate the chairman doing what he's done.
And we've spoken on a couple of occasions off with our old council. I think there doesn't seem to be an agreement from the council that they would use our advice and such because they're the whole reason we're here. We're supposed to know a little bit more about the airport than the average person on the street. That's we're supposed to pass along from our business knowledge to things that fly.
Could I just inject to that as well, because we do appreciate your all's advice, but you know, going back to sort of January where this whole thing started, we had the initial workshop talking about the airport standards and gave Matt direction on that, and then following that y'all had a meeting, and that was when you voted not to be a part of the minimum standards discussion. And so Matt actually said at that meeting, you know, he's got to go forward with it because council has given him that direction and the city manager has given him that direction. So that's why we continued forward. And y'all met again in February, March, those meetings, and nothing was discussed, I presume, since it was voted against at the January meeting. Am I correct about that?
Well, to a certain extent, but you got to understand from our perspective. If something's brought before us, just as it's brought to the council,
right.
We don't feel it's in the best interest of the city, in your case,
right.
The airport. And there was a lot of discussion at the January meeting, and we discussed in looking at what we were given to work with, what we had, the group here felt that that was not, we weren't given a choice. Matt wasn't given as much choice. He was under pressure from city management.
And council, right.
And council. So he's I'm saying Scott and Bill, that's all part of it. He's a message here, we're sort of on his shoes.
Right.
I like him. And that's how it worked. So we were acting as we always will, in the best interest of the airport. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the council can make a mistake and think something is in the best interest of the airport, and maybe it's not so, or the best interest of other entities than the city. And that's why we're here. That's why
right.
come, and you see them all the time.
Right, absolutely.
Waving their flags and jumping up and down.
And I guess the frustration, from my perspective anyway, is that rather than saying this isn't in the best interest, let's work on it and work through it during those intervening months, it was just a no vote and we moved on. And that, you know, presents you know, kind of removes yourself from it. And that's, or at least that's my perspective.
Well, that's an incorrect perspective, isn't it? We really never would not choose to involve ourselves in something like that. But
Matt, I think, the discussions today have been great and very productive, and just...
That's what we're saying.
Happened back in January.
And maybe misinterpretation on our part or whatever, but Matt, after a period of time, had brought the new suggestion in terms of a draft in terms of where we were going, and was like, here's the draft, this is what we need to adopt. And we said, given where we are and given where that is, we're in total disagreement. So, bearing in mind the standards we've got now from our perspective, in terms of being adequate and disagree somewhat, they're not terrible. I mean, they have enough. A couple of years ago, they did the last, and I thought, well, I'm good. So we continue to work with the same standards. They're not new to us. They're not something we just thump up. It's been there.
Right.
So it's something that the last day on those is, it was 925-2008. So we made changes to them at that point in time. So standards, I've been on this board for my care to admit, but over 35 years. I've seen a lot of things happen here from a historical perspective. And that's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But I never do it in a reasonable and fair manner. I'm very good at the airport, and I'm upfront about that. That's where I thought about it. I'm going to be mad at it in the same fashion. So that's kind of how it shakes out. Minimum standards have been part of what we talked about at the airport board meeting since I first got here. They're not new. They've been modified, they've been worked on over the years, but they can always be improved, times change. And that happened up the other day. I think the board is going to look at adaptations that we would feel should be reasonable, still be reasonable to the tenants that are here, to somebody who wants to come along and provide, more important than anything else, a reasonable level of service to things in the airport. Get a really good airport, you make some good things happen, and done very well. We want to make sure that continues.
This is kind of a stupid question, but in this chart here, say one company was going to do aircraft rental and charter, would they have to provide 2,000 square feet, or could they use the same square feet for both functions? You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, it's cumulative under the existing office space requirements.
So if you have to do 2,000?
Yeah.
That's correct.
But there again, I think it depends on the proposal. If somebody came here, to Jerry's point, or whatever, somebody came to the business plan and proposed, this is what we want to do, we got this Learjet, and make up a whole lot of room, we're doing this other, we're going to be in 139, part 139 charges. 135. Oh, so we had 135. There's no reason why something like that can't work. If it's flexed yet, they wouldn't come here anyway.
Yeah, I mean, here it looks like, if you read it literally, it looks like
we can't do the square feet for something less.
Right. Well, we can look at it. But if you don't, as we address the square footage and the acreage, it's only got 40,000 square foot of ramp. And you start entering into all of these other things, then...
But if you're going to want to prove something less, why make it more restrictive now?
Well, if you were just saying that if you couldn't meet minimum standards, you brought a plan in that was less than minimum standards, you could approve it if you agreed with it. So why have a minimum standard then? Just say that.
Well, the minimum standard is still being met, but there's unusual circumstances also to a business, the operation of the business.
Then it's not minimum standard anymore. Then anybody can propose anything.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Take the word minimum out of it altogether. Take the word minimum out of it altogether.
Something else to think about.
Recommended.
But something to think about when you're talking about an FBO is you're requiring an FBO to provide services. What if the airport can't support all those services? You're requiring to provide four services. But right now, let's say tracing over here with Landmark, all of a sudden the maintenance facility goes out and goes bankrupt. You know, the owner is killed in a car accident or whatever, and they can't find anybody else to come in. Now they're in default of their lease and the minimum standards, and they can't provide it because they just can't bring that. What do? You're forcing an FBO to provide services that maybe the community can't support. The avionics shop is just making it. So if they can't continue to make it, the current minimum standard says you've got to have one. But if nobody else comes in, you're forcing a company to charge more for fuel so they can subsidize these other services. Okay, which is putting you way above everybody else. Instead of doing that, you can just say, provide another service besides fuel.
Well, what you propose is to own pump fuel?
No, you could do that. A lot of airports do that. But you could provide something else, another service, okay, whether it be charter or flight school or maintenance. And then if that business can't be supported in that community, you can change it to another business. Okay? But you're forcing someone like Landmark to charge more money for fuel to be able to support the other businesses.
This isn't exactly the idea. Have you read the development template?
I have.
But so if you'll read that and look at it.
But that's why it says advisory.
It's not mandatory, just like our minimum standards. But the FAA very clearly addresses all those things, but there's never been 3,000 airports. I believe that's what that's going to be. There's about 3,000 airports like ours and regional airports in the United States. So this is addressing 3,000 airports from Maine to California.
And I've probably been to 800 or 900 of those, okay, and see how they do it at all the other different airports, and see that there's so much variance throughout the country that you can do. And this community, what has really grown in Ocala as far as aviation businesses in the last 25 years or so? There really hasn't been anything.
Well, there wasn't an avionics shop here originally.
25 years ago, there was an avionics shop here. That's right. There sure was. Yeah, I've been here for 30 years and I was, so.
I've been there 30 years and I work right here where Jerry's sitting.
Yeah. On airports. There hasn't been any change in any businesses here, per se, in 25 to 30 years. Why? Because the way the standards are set, it doesn't.
No, there's been nothing to prevent a maintenance shop to go to the maintenance shop, other than they give these services to come.
Well, first of all, right now, if they wanted to come and open up another shop, where would they go? They'd have to build a new facility. Okay? So now they couldn't compete with an existing shop because they would have to pay all that upfront money that the other shop doesn't have to. Okay? It's just you're taking and limiting what the Ocala Airport can do to attract business. And that's why you're just limiting it. And I'm not saying this for me, I'm saying it for the Ocala Airport.
We're not at the same charter, right? There's only a couple of airports, we're the most restrictive, but if we went to the level that was suggested, we're the least restrictive. We would be the least restrictive and the most restrictive.
If you want to attract business, that might be what you have to do.
That's
true.
Kind of Zach Wiley, what can we do to create an environment? You walk out of a CVS across the streets of Walgreens, you walk out of a Lowe's down the street, say Home Depot, what can we do to create that environment here? I think that's what you want to see. Don't be focused on names, on operations. What system can we put in place that will encourage competition?
Okay.
And that way everyone benefits.
I can get in my car and drive to 25 of those kind of businesses. But this airport, there it is right there. There's only four entrances to this airport and begins with the runway. That's your market. So you can't compare it to CBS.
I'm not trying to make a direct comparison. I'm using that as you all are basically tasked with creating the environment, setting whatever you want to call it, minimum standards. Jerry's case, he saw Ford versus GM. That's what I think you want to create here. Everyone will benefit, the community, the airport, as well as the pilots.
Well, you know, what we're going to do next week, I'm going to present a number of different ways to do that flexibility. You're going to make a recommendation. I'm going to take that to the city council, and then they say, well, this isn't flexible. Instead of four, let's do two. But we'll keep the same methodology. And that is entirely possible. And actually, that's what happened in January. My proposal initially was two services plus one or two others. And the comment was, well, why don't we do better? Why don't we make it even more flexible? And that's how we got down to maintenance plus one, right? Well, so you're going to face that discussion when this goes back to city council.
But I think a better understanding, if you look at that aerial map there, at the airport, it's not like driving around in the park. There's two airports within a reasonable flying distance, Leesburg and Gainesville. Williston may be on the edge of that, that provides really good services at all. But Ellen has gas. You have a big tank out there, and you go over there and you pump gas from your airport. That's all the services they provide.
How many grass strips are located around there in town?
But they aren't open to the public.
How many grass strips are out there? Okay, how many airplanes are on those grass strips? Where do they have to go to get service?
They go to the Ellen because it's the cheapest place in the town.
For fuel. But what about everything else? And why would they go there because it's the cheapest? Because we can't compete here. That's the thing. Well, all of these airplanes, there's 570-some airplanes registered in Marion County. There's only 140 or 150 here on the airport, 170.
I'm sure some of them are there.
But they all have to go somewhere to get something that's just like big jet maintenance. We have an aircraft, big jet. We have to take it somewhere to get maintenance done. Okay, why? Because there's no place here. Okay, with the same principle with all little airplanes.
Well,
they have to go somewhere.
Mary lives at the air ranch. She can probably answer that question better than I.
But you understand, it's the principle. That's all I'm trying to say. You were saying that this airport only has those four entrances, but you have to look at what your market is. Your market's all these airports around here that don't offer any services. Yeah. You can attract them in here if you have the right services, but you can't attract those services if you don't have the right environment for them to come in.
That's the reason for wanting to have more services.
But you have to have the environment to bring the services. And with the minimum standards you're looking at, you're not going to create that environment.
If you just pump gas, we're not bringing
the service. No, I'm not talking about that.
What service are you bringing? It's a chicken and egg argument.
You look at it that way. Most everybody else does.
Paul Boyd looked at it that way. There's other people I'm sure in the audience.
He doesn't look at it that way.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean when you say environment?
The environment, the competitive environment, the minimums that a business has to meet to come in. Okay? If you look at the standards, the proposed standards, you've got, I'm just going to throw one out, aircraft management. That particular one requires an acre of land and like 3,600 square feet of hangar space and ramp space. I don't remember the numbers on that. But you could actually operate an aircraft management on a half acre or less and have a good operation with it. Okay, but yet the minimum standard says you can't do that. So now we're taking a business that could operate on a smaller lot, and we're telling them you have to rent this much land. So now we're taking away land from the airport that could be rented to somebody else, and telling them that you have to have this much to do it. That's the minimum. Instead of having that, it should be
that's what we're
adequate works much better, so that you can present a plan to the board and say, okay, here's what I need. Here's my building plot. Here's what we can do, the number of airplanes we can put on it. Then consider that to take to the city council. Whereas if you take the minimum standards and you start adding all these numbers in there that aren't really needed for these different services. And I agree with the part about the ramp. If you have a 10,000 square foot hangar, you probably ought to have a 10,000 square foot ramp. Okay? Because the number of airplanes that fit in your hangar, you might want to have to put them outside. Okay? But you have to, you know, there has to be some semblance of order with it, but you making an FBO provide services, just provide services, increases the cost to everybody coming here.
So instead of coming here and denying, you don't have to provide those services. You can just go over there and buy fuel, okay? Whereas if you don't have to do that with an FBO here, they can be more competitive. Tracy, you can take this from her experience at other airports, I'm sure. But in order for Ocala to be competitive, bring the business here. The city makes money on every gallon of fuel that's sold. The more fuel that's sold, the more money the city makes, okay? You can't attract airplanes in if the fuel costs are so high because they have to maintain all these other services.
How would you propose to compete with Denali if you're fuel plant?
Self-service tanks, that's what they use in Denali.
How would you get to the point, what's Denali at now?
I think we're about 40 cents higher than them right now.
You think there's a self-fuel?
With a self-fuel thing, well, you could do that. You could put a jet one in too. There's several airports that have jet ones. Okay, so you could do that for those people that want that service. Bring them to Ocala, but when these aircraft are coming to Ocala, then they're going to be looking for the other services. Now, that would attract business to the avionics shop because you're bringing them here for fuel. Now, a lot of them may not even know Quest is there, but they'll come in, they see Quest, or they have a problem when they go to start up. So they go talk to Carrier, one of the other people there, so that brings business to them. It's the attraction part. You've got to bring them here first to get them to use the other services. You make the minimum standards too restrictive, you can't get there.
I don't think that is anything. You're in this.
Marketing 101.
No, it's not Marketing 101. That's the field that I meant. You're making the argument now based on the fact that you want to come to Ocala and you have presented this plan and you want to come here.
Carrie, let me stop you real quick there.
You're
accusing us of this. I'm here just because I've been here for 30 years with this airport. It doesn't matter to me if I put an FBO here or not. I'm here today because this is what the airport really needs. This is what you've got to do to bring services in. It has nothing to do, there is no plan here, okay? And you shouldn't even consider that plan. You keep thinking that that's the reason for these standards. I didn't start this conversation on standards. That came from the airport. Had nothing to do with us. Had nothing to do with us even talking to the airport.
It just helped submit this, but it came from the FAA. But
you keep accusing our company as the reason for the standards. That has nothing to do with it, okay? For the change in the standards. That the airport brought, not us. Okay? So instead of accusing us, why don't you open your mind up and listen to what's going on around here? Okay?
Well, everything you said I think is true, but I think it can also be met in the standards themselves, if they're reasonable enough.
That's right. The standards need to be reasonable enough. That's all I'm saying is they've got to be reasonable enough. I'm not saying you don't have standards. They just have to be reasonable. Mm-hmm.
Now, is the FAA, if somebody comes to us with a proposal that doesn't meet our standards, can we get a waiver? Or is it what it is, it's set in stone?
The FAA is not going to act on anything unless somebody complains. So if the board subsequently the council decides to allow something less than what our standards permit, that may be fine until somebody complains and says that I want a similar deal. I'm not getting it. So that's where the FAA will step in. You can change things within the system to a degree based on similarly situated services. So somebody that would come in and do an FBO and meet all of our space requirements on our existing ground, where our existing terminal is, is one thing. But somebody proposing an FBO operation on the west side that may have $10 million in investment put into it is not similarly situated. So you have that flexibility to make distinctions between the two. You change lease rates, other incentives in that respect. But you have to justify those changes in the boundaries that the FAA gives you in that advisory circular, as well as the exclusive rights circular. You can't grant exclusive rights through overly restrictive minimum standards, which I think is what we're tiptoeing around right now with our existing standards.
So using the word retrofitted or adequate would loosen that up to the, I mean, you would have, like we've been saying, more flexibility and would be less likely to have someone come back.
That's correct. Either put it down as adequate or make the recommended values
truly minimums.
That's what I talked about on Monday. That's what the meeting will have next week, is what we start here is actually doing. And I agree with you totally. I mean, I don't really think we got somebody, Aiden's in that business. You know, they need rent. Professionals. Got right out of office.
I use property as a mortgage. I use landmark rents.
Sure.
But if you look at the minimum standards for what Dean does, he can't have all this big rent space. Well, I think they have it in the lease pretty much. Right, but that's because Landmark splits it all up. Let's say someone else wants to come in, Landmark doesn't have room for them.
Right, and then they go down.
Then they have to go down to other things. So now there's a disparity between the two businesses, because one is able to lease space at the FBO, the other one can't. Now you have a disparity.
Well, I think we're talking about the same thing. But I want to get one thing straight. I can't really trace it. But it seems to me that the standards have been the standards the way they were. We worked through them and have, basically really had them. There is a new approach from the council that I really applaud in terms of all areas of the city to make the city more vibrant, make things happen. I'm all for that. But at the same point in time, Ocala Jet has been around the edge of wanting to put a proposal in, and it seemed to have occurred exactly at the same moment that these standards became something necessary for us back up there.
If that was the case, there'd be an already proposal here, but there's not.
Okay, so you're not going to submit a proposal?
We don't know yet. We have no idea if we're going to submit one.
You know, the reason I just asked about getting the variance is, and we're talking theoretical, and it would be so much easier if somebody, whoever, came in and said, here's what I want to do, gentlemen, let's talk about it. You know, it seems to me like that's the way to go. We're talking all this minimum standards, but then we say we can change it if we want to, we can recommend that it's not required. Somebody put something on paper, let's look at it, talk about it, discuss it.
And then that is reasonable. The standards can be modified any time. So,
but the problem is it's like Matt says, that if you allow one person to come in with less, someone else, like let's just say for example, we went in and proposed something less than what Landmark has, okay? Now that would, and you approved it. If I were Landmark, the first thing I would do is file a complaint.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing I would do, which would cost the city money to have to fight into them what they did. Okay, but if you set the minimum standards right, it's going to benefit everybody on the airport. It's not going to benefit just one person by giving them a waiver. You set the minimum standards right, it benefits everybody, even the existing customers.
But at the same point in time, if we adopt minimum standards that don't require anything other than pumping fuel, then what is Landmark?
Well, nobody said that.
They no longer have to provide.
But nobody had said that. Yeah, I think the first proposal back in
January,
it was like, provide maintenance and one of them, or something like that, or provide one or two stamps. Having one or two services is one thing, but to have four, that's another. In your fuel prices.
Well, we're talking about perhaps one third. We get there.
Terry, I think you're in the right track. Wait a minute. You weigh them, I don't know if there's a way to weigh them based on revenue. You know, the helicopter rental is not high on revenue. You know, the turbo maintenance is high, so you weigh that. But then when if you have a second tier evaluation where Matt is adding up the square footage, but then by virtue of certain operations, they get a discount, which reduces the square footage. Everybody would be open to that. Between the two, will we get a level play?
I think we will. That's what we're trying to accomplish by waiting them, putting more services on there. One of the services that really hasn't been, that Landmark's not even claiming now, and it's not, but they have it, is aircraft storage. I would assume an FBO would be help to have.
But under the current minimum standards, I don't think that's service. Aircraft stores. That's a requirement of that.
But that's what we're talking about here.
No, I understand that. But if you start weighting them, that becomes a problem because you can have, let's just say maintenance. You have one that has a maintenance that says 2 points. So the other one, you're not going to have two maintenance shops. Let's say large jet maintenance shops on the airport. So now the other FBO, let's say some of the services that they can get people to do are half reps. So now they might have to provide six or seven services to equal this one. That's not quite right.
We only have right now one maintenance shop, and it's a light cabin, I mean, it's a light piston engine aircraft maintenance. It's not doing any of that.
So what I'm getting at is you're looking at four credits or three credits that still could end up being a lot of services that maybe can't really be provided adequately.
Terry, can we specify the points? Don't look at services. Your threshold is three. Then you've got a cherry pick what gets you to three. Don't look at the number of different tasks. Each one is weighted. You know, if I could bring heavy jets in, you ought to get a five. Because that puts a cow on the map. If you're going to be the little helicopter guy, you get less points. So if you can come to a common ground of points, so look at operations and then equate, you know, assign points values to each operation, then they come in shop.
I think that gets overly complicated. We're trying to make it simple.
And well, I understand, but
that can make it work. But we're trying to get down. We're talking about the same thing. I don't think we're going
to. Well, I'm just trying to get to you. Where you just say you gotta be four, or it's gotta be two.
Well,
that's.
We have that way, so that there's two or three services, four services, whatever there is, that were reasonable, and that if somebody comes in here and gets into the aircraft rental business, and they only have one 172 they're renting, and they're also in the sales business, and they got a for sale sign on that, and they're meeting two of them.
You can charter it.
And yeah, you can charter it, I guess.
You put a pile in it, it's a charter.
We don't want a situation where somebody comes in and at that point in time, since we've been requiring Landmark to do what we've required them to do, then there comes a complaint. Not necessarily Landmark, whoever else is there. So we got to balance what's reasonable and fair, what's legal and what the FAA allows us to do, right in the scheme of business with attorneys like Randy to make their living when there's a dispute between businesses. That's where all that comes in. We want to stay way away from it. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. And maybe I'm wrong, but the proposal that Upcoming Jet brought to the RFP, almost since the RFP, my understanding was that you had a bond between establishing and building another FPS. Now you're saying you don't.
Well, the RFP, I didn't say that. I just said we're still looking. There's a lot of controversy here at the airport. You got to see the controversy's got to all be settled out first. Before anybody would consider investing money in the Ocala Airport. And right now, there's just too much controversy going on. Well, it's going back and forth between the airport board and the city council for the last several months. And so.
I don't think there's enough regarding.
You have to look at the people in the community who said it as a controversy.
We haven't had any conflict with the city council.
I didn't say that. I said it's a controversy.
Yes, you did. Because we have controversy. We have some controversy here recently that we're now retiring out quickly because the city council here does a heck of a job to see the hotel. They work hard at what they do and they're not paid any of it. It's not huge. They give a tough amount of money. But the people that serve on the city council and serve as the mayor do it out of love for the city, and I applaud them for that because they put in a lot of time and do a lot of work, and there's a lot more on their plate than the airport. We're just a little part of that. So we've endeavored over the years to be reasonable with the city council, work with the city council on things. Our track record in terms of the airport board, we've never been, to my knowledge,
let's bring the word controversy to uncertainty.
We've never had a controversy. Okay.
Let's change the word controversy to uncertainty. There's too much uncertainty right now as to what the airport's going to require.
If you're in Washington, but from our standpoint, we work well with council, we work on this. We've been doing this for a long time. You introduced a new level and said you wanted to do an FBO. We're going to do a lot of this because you want to do an FBO. And now you're saying you don't want an FBO.
No, so, you're not doing the minimum standards because we want to do an FBO. It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Even Matt has told me that. So.
Well, we've been told different things at different times, so let's not go there. That's better. No reason to argue about it. That's best not to go. So, we do what we do. We're endeavoring to meet next Wednesday and bring a product to the council that we feel is in the best interest of the airport, the current tenants, future tenants, and so forth. And I think we need to use a leader that is really, other comments from the board first, to come to the end of that. Anybody else have any follow-up on the subject? There's an appropriate time to speak again, but you're welcome to speak now. We'll leave that alone for now, okay, so for now, we're done with Melvin's time. Wait and see what product we generate and what we come out with, because in our endeavor to make it reasonable and fair, and look at some things that, based on, things that we learned at the workshop, from consultants that came in, and opened our eyes to a few more things, and, all of those products need to be relative to the city. And my only problem with the city is the difference in terms of the perception of city council and city management, in terms of comparing gas stations and value of one gas station. When we had there, that's gas was cheaper at the racetrack, by the interstate than it is at the Circle K out here, I mean, the Kangaroo out here, so I gotta get gas on the way back to the money on the pins. I'll go to the one that's 3 cents cheaper, racetrack. But you can't do that in airplanes, it's plainly limited, but you can't compare, and you certainly can't compare the services provided on airplanes higher than the health to CBS.
Not trying to, but excuse the analogy, we want to create an environment that allows competition.
That's for part of the environment is here, if the business is here.
How would you have to do the same task?
Well, I think it comes back to, we need to be, I don't want to say negotiating, because that's the city council, but I think everybody here agrees, we don't need two of everything, but if somebody would just say, here's what I want to do, then we could say, well, let's work together and try to make sure that one company's not duplicating the other, but at least keep talking abstract, we can just talk all day long, but.
We've had a couple of POs that apply and actually acquire, to do business on the airport, and their standards push them away because of that duplicate, and that was in the past. 7 years on the long-term
beyond that, too. Kind of make that reasonable and easy. We have to have something, you can't hold it to another sense. So, with that said, we'll go on to the agenda down to John, I need to get up there.
I think it kind of bothers me about this chart is how do we know these categories here?
Let's talk about that on Tuesday.
All right.
Wednesday. That's all I need behind that, where we can.
What I was getting at, let me just say, it says general maintenance. Now, what about if the person comes in and says, I'm only going to work on certain kinds of aircraft? Or what about the aircraft rental? Maybe he's only got one plane to rent. I mean,
well, I think that's covered somewhat in the language of the lease. I think we need to.
Their operating agreement. Yeah, I mean, if their proposal is to work on aircraft that would fit in turbine maintenance, they'd have to put it in a hangar that would be commensurate to that type of aircraft, and then you'd turn around and say, well, we're just gonna change our business model to focus on something else. That would involve changing the minimum standards, or their operating agreement. They just wouldn't be able to do it, because it would be listed in their operating agreement. This is your focus, this is what you're doing.
And then there's a runway 26 PX?
Yes. We received a grant. Copies of that grant were in front of you. That went to City Council, and with your recommendation, they approved it. The second part of that is the work order for Reynolds, Smith, and Hill. Basically designed to revive contract administration, and then RTR, which is for resident project representative. That's the guy that's on site making sure that they're putting the right amount of asphalt down and ensuring the quality of the project. Their total is $86,775. That is wholly within the scope of the grant, reimbursable 80-20 in that grant. We just have to get this portion of it approved. We'll take this to City Council on June 5th with your recommendation. Ask your approval.
Any recommendation? It's already done. You don't need anything.
Not this. This is the actual task assignment to our station to begin the design on the project. The funding was approved. Now we just need to approve this little contract.
Okay. So we need a motion from the board.
I so moved.
I second that motion.
It's hard.
Chuck the red and have the end of it. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Don't you want to discuss them? Or you can.
I'm just getting started.
All in favor?
Aye.
I just want to give you an update on our field sales. Year to date, we're about 2.3% over where we were this time last year. Monthly, you'll note, there were zero Avgas deliveries for the month of April. Tracy said they shipped it, what, March 31st or something?
March 30th.
It was May 1st, so it split the month completely, or bypassed the month completely, which is why you get this negative 100% of the month result. Which, looking at the year-to-date figures, is a little more accurate. So we're 2.3% over the last year. Pretty recent spring. I don't have updated operations numbers. Look at the fuel price comparative. This was our comparison on May 14th. The orange line items are all the Florida landmark locations. The red item is Ocala landmark. You got Avgas on the left, self-serve Avgas in the middle, and then our jet fuel prices on the right.
Is that on the self-serve?
The melon is self-serve. They came in at 515, self-serve Avgas. Actually, and I've got them under, I've got their Jet A price over here. This is a self-serve jet price. They don't have full service, but I need to put them somewhere. I didn't want to not include them on the chart, so that's a good point.
Okay. The person who's present that went into this board, have anything to say regarding anything? Okay. Nobody volunteering. I appreciate everybody being here today. I appreciate the input and discussion. I appreciate asking the board.
Anybody in the audience?
I can address everyone to hear.
Do you want to say anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
He's like a bad thing, he just keeps showing up.
Does
he? we talked about it, he just kind of observing what we're doing. So he's kind of coming part of the town. Comments?
No, sir. I want to thank Bert and the tower staff of the Young Eagles assistance. It really went well, I thought. We didn't have any incursions or anything. We handle ourselves all right.
Yes, how are you? Pretty good.
And thank you also to Landmark for the gas.
I was excited to hear that they made enough on a tri motor that they didn't take to the Young Eagles.
So I got 11.
Yeah.
I got 6 gallons coming to me. I didn't take it that day. They wrote a little slip of paper.
And you lost it?
No, I got it in my gallons. It's a genuine thing.
Well, next time you get filled, just let me know. I put it in with me to read.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. What comes to come up?
About half.
Yeah, I've got something. I'm sorry to say that at today I'm going to have to submit my resignation on the board. It's because of health and circumstances that are going to create a problem for me. And I've had 7 years with the board. I have nothing but compliments for the efforts that all of you have done. And to find cooperation that we've seen both at the airport, Matt, Christine, the whole organization. I'm sorry, I would have liked to have continued, but circumstances are such that when in all fairness I have to submit my resignation.
And I speak to the board and say that's very regretful on our part. I hate to say that.
Well, it's a matter of health.
We'll keep in our thoughts and prayers. Yeah. And we continue to thank you for your efforts. Everybody knows about Gary, I think, but he has a tutor's own horn.
Well, I wanted to do it in public because if I had just done it quietly with, you know, a letter, that everybody has all kinds of inputs. Oh, he got this, or he was mad at that, or there was something there, or whatever. And that's not the case at all. It is just strictly a personal problem. And I wish I could give you more details, but I don't have.
Jerry came from the automotive industry. He was, he ended his career with General Motors, which he, I don't know exactly how far he was at the time. He was pretty close to the top of General Motors. He retired from Buick, and he was able to take a job with the Experimental Aircraft Association. I was kind of the number two guy in the organization, and I know for a fact that he was an invaluable part of one of the nation's largest aviation organizations. Worked very closely with Tom Polaris, and he ran that organization, and got a wealth of knowledge in everything to do with aviation from a very unique perspective at Oshkosh and through the VAA. Gary's been flying his P-51s down to Ottawa. He's been actively involved in pilot for how many years, Gary?
7 years, the vice president of VAA, yeah.
How long have you been flying?
Oh, 63 years.
Horrible right to sign.
Horrible right, didn't I? No, I started in 1947. 48 training with the government, and then I was 5 years with the reserves, and then that phased out. They never called me back for Korea because all I had was prop time. I had no jet time, so that phased it. And then when I started with the corporation, rather than going to the airlines, and we all have mothers, and my mother in 1952 said, or 53, said, you go with the Corps, for General Motors. You don't need to go with the United Airlines. And so that was the division line that we all had to face. And so I went with the corporation. It was 35 years. And we were in the field organization, sales and marketing. Dealt with the dealers, dealt with building, dealt with the free marketplace, which is what you're arguing about. Government or free marketplace? Obama wants to run it all, and free market, you know. It's been very interesting. I flew all that time, much of it in air shows and activities on the side. And when I was with Oshkosh, it was a wonderful time because at that time I was mostly interested in warbirds, and the reason for that was that they were available and they were cheap. That's all I could afford. When I got to Oshkosh, of course, we had a bevy of airplanes to fly. I flew and raided in the B-17, B-25, all of the warbirds, P-51. It was a great 7 years. And I left, came down here to Leeward. Wonderful place to live, just wonderful. But I keep tearing those pages off the calendar and find that there's one that says, no more flying. Happens to all of us. Been great working.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Thanks for your service to the board of the city and aviation general. Have you other comments? Motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm. So much.
Well, Jerry, thank you very much for coming again. I look forward to your hard work coming back on the screen for you.
I'm meeting here.
Okay.
No, go ahead.